Hello, I'm David Avani. I'm a director in the Technology and Communications team at Burgess Salmon. I'm going to be talking over the next few minutes about the data protection implications of Brexit. I'll be covering how Brexit will affect data protection legislation in the UK, what Brexit will mean for transfers of personal data overseas, whether you'll need to think about appointing a data protection representative in the EU, and things to look out for over the remainder of 2020. So, firstly, how will Brexit affect the data protection regulatory landscape in the UK? At the moment, obviously, we have the General Data Protection Regulation, which is an element of European law, but is directly applicable in the UK. We have the Data Protection Act 2018 and the Privacy and Electronic Communications Regulations 2003, regulated in the UK by the Information Commissioner's Office and also by the European Data Protection Board at EU level. During the transition period until 31st of December 2020, we'll be treated equivalently to the remaining EU member states, i.e., the status quo will be maintained. But from the 1st of January 2021, it's very likely that the data protection legislation we'll have in place at that stage will be a UK version of GDPR, which we're calling UK GDPR. We'll still have a Data Protection Act 2018 and the Privacy and Electronic Communications Regulations, but just regulated by the ICO. The European Data Protection Board may issue persuasive opinions at that stage, but they will not be binding in the UK. Also worth noting as well that the Privacy and Electronic Communications Regs, or PECA, will probably be replaced later this year by new e-privacy regulations at the European level. We'll likely need to mirror those or take those into account as well. So, secondly, data transfers. Following Brexit, the UK will become a third country in the eyes of the EU. Within the UK, we propose to recognise the EU as demonstrating an adequate level of data protection for data that is controlled by people in the UK. At the moment, the EU does not currently recognise the UK data protection regime as being equivalent, i.e., we have no adequacy decision in place. More about those in a moment. However, the EU Commission Brexit Task Force has said that an adequacy decision by 2021 is possible. In the absence of that decision, transfers from the UK to the EU will require adequate safeguards, such as binding corporate rules or the standard contractual clauses. And transfers to third countries other than the UK will be determined by historic EU adequacy decisions. There's little change here, but there is a prospect in the UK for divergence with the current EU regime, for example, in respect to the Privacy Shield, which deals with transfers of data to the US. The UK will recognise the EU and any countries determined by the European Commission, such as Japan, as providing an adequate level of data protection, enabling the continued outbound transfer of personal data to those countries from the UK. So, as I was mentioning, there's various ways in which data can be transferred outside the UK in accordance with GDPR. The first of these are the model clauses, or the standard contractual clauses, which effectively are a contractual wrapper that have been approved by the European Commission that can be used in respect of transfers of data overseas. There's binding corporate rules, which deal with intra-company or intra-group transfers of data between companies in the same group, and also adequacy decisions, which is when the European Commission has made a finding of adequacy to say that a particular jurisdiction or territory or country's data protection regime is of a level that's equivalent and adequate in the eyes of data protection law. So there are three ways at the moment to transfer data overseas in accordance with GDPR. Firstly, there's the model clauses or standard contractual clauses, which are effectively a contractual wrapper that can be appended to an agreement regarding a data transfer. There's binding corporate rules, which deal with transfers of data between companies in the same group. And there are also adequacy decisions, which is when the European Commission has made a finding of adequacy in respect of a particular country or territory, which indicate that that country has been deemed to have a level of data protection regulation and law that's equivalent to that within the EU. However, in the 24 years since the original 1996 Data Protection Directive, which was replaced by GDPR in 2018, the Commission has only made findings of adequacy in respect of 13 jurisdictions, most recently Japan, which supposedly took the Japanese 14 years to obtain. Of those 13 jurisdictions, three are part of the UK: Jersey, Guernsey, and the Isle of Man. However, obviously, at the end of the transition period, the UK will be in the unique position of being compliant with European data protection standards on exit day. So this might affect the speed of any decision the Commission makes regarding the UK's adequacy. The position of the EU27 previously had been that the UK would likely need to get to the back of the queue following Brexit, but this stance may soften if a deal is reached over the next few months. A January 2020 publication from the EU27's Brexit Task Force alluded to the Commission working on an adequacy decision after the 31st of January, with the aim of that decision being passed before the end of 2020, but nothing being promised. That decision will be dependent upon an opinion from the European Data Protection Board, which is a body that advises the European Commission on data protection law. It is made up from representatives of each of the information commissioners or data protection authorities from the EU27's member states. There have been concerns previously from the EDPB that the UK's Investigatory Powers Act, which was previously found to breach European law by the Court of Justice of the EU, would obstruct the UK's ability to gain an adequacy decision. But ironically, the EU's Brexit Task Force has highlighted international cooperation regarding law enforcement as being a key factor to the desire for the Commission to push through an adequacy decision this year. We will also need to see how the UK will deal with data flows to other countries, the US. Will we still need to observe the privacy shield, or will we be able to set it aside? I personally think that's unlikely if we want to continue with the EU data flows and gain our own adequacy decision. Incidentally, it's worth noting that the model clauses do not cater for a scenario where a processor is located in the European Economic Area, but the controller is not, as would be the case where a UK company, for example, used a Netherlands-based cloud hosting provider for data storage. There's also an interesting view from the European Data Protection Supervisor, which was released in an opinion they issued in February 2020. In this opinion, the EDPS stated that it supported aiming to resolve as many issues as possible during the transition period, highlighted the importance of the UK maintaining its commitments towards data protection for us to continue to benefit from ongoing law enforcement and judicial cooperation with the EU27. The EDPS also said that an adequacy decision may be reached prior to the end of the transition period, but potential obstacles would remain, such as the EDPS being concerned if the UK deviated from GDPR or any elements of European data protection law following Brexit. The EDPS also pointed out that even if an adequacy decision relating to the UK were to be granted, that decision would still be subject to periodic review at least every 4 years, pursuant to GDPR and the EU's Law Enforcement Directive. Finally, the EDPS recommended that the EU take steps to prepare for all eventualities regarding Brexit, including cases where no decision was made in terms of adequacy in the UK, or where such an adequacy decision would only apply to certain sectors, for example, retail or financial services. So the next thing I want to talk about is representatives. GDPR says that a data controller or processor not established or physically located inside the EU, but which offers goods, services, or monitors online behaviour of people in the EU, is required to appoint a representative in Europe to facilitate cooperation between that company and European data protection regulators. Appointing a representative doesn't affect the responsibility or liability of the appointing controller or processor, but does, in effect, give the regulator and data subjects from the EU a point of contact should they need to engage with that company. European Data Protection Board guidance explains that the intention of this requirement is to enable regulators to initiate enforcement action against the representative in the same way as it would against the controller or processor that organisation represents. Representatives can be held to account should they not comply, and therefore could be subject to administrative fines, penalties themselves as a consequence. Once we leave the EU, there'll be a question for organisations to answer in terms of business they do with Europe as to whether or not they'll need to appoint a representative themselves in the remaining EU27. And similarly, businesses from Europe that operate in the UK also need to think about if they need to appoint a representative in the UK as well as their existing representative in Europe. In order to do this, you probably want to think about, are you targeting or selling to individuals in an EU27 member state without an establishment in the UK? If so, then you'll need to have an organisation in place in Europe after exit day. And this might apply, for example, to UK businesses who process the data of European citizens, and could also apply to non-EU businesses such as US-based companies who previously relied on a UK branch or office or subsidiary for GDPR compliance when processing data in Europe. The Information Commissioner's Office has said that the UK government intends that a controller or process located outside the UK, but which targets UK individuals, will be required to appoint a UK representative after exit day. If this approach is adopted in UK GDPR, a data controller or processor without an establishment in the UK, which processes data of individuals in Britain, will also need to appoint that representative in the UK. The example again here will be a US company that processes data for individuals in both France and the UK, but doesn't have an establishment in either country, would end up needing to appoint a representative in both jurisdictions after exit day. So in terms of things considered going forward, organisations should think about their compliance with representative requirements under GDPR and also eventually UK GDPR. Think about updating their contractual arrangements and privacy documentation to reflect the application of UK GDPR. These would be privacy notices, your supplier and customer agreements, and internal policy documents regarding, for example, data breaches, data protection handling, employment policies, that kind of thing. And thirdly, think about your data flows and transfers. Businesses should remain vigilant for any updates relating to the progress of our application for an adequacy decision, and continue to prepare for contingency plans if a decision isn't made before the end of December. Thank you. So as a reminder, I'm David Varney. I'm a director in the Tech and Comms team at Burgess Stammen. Thank you for your attention.